So hi, and this is Santaria from Radio Cavalli, and today we're talking with Val from Netpol. So thanks for talking to us.
Okay.
And I recently read a really interesting article on your website about mobile fingerprinting, and sort of it said that the Met Police is the 25th UK police force to start using mobile fingerprinting. So I was wondering, could you tell us what it is and what's going on with it?
Yes, this is something that they've been trialing and piloting for the last 3 or 4 years, and now one by one, all the UK police forces seem to be rolling it out on an operational level. The Met have introduced 350 of these, which is quite a lot, but then they're a large police force. But they've become very established right across the UK. And the purpose of them, as far as the police say, is that when they come across someone who has committed, they think, or suspected of committing a low-level offence, they can use a mobile fingerprinting device to check their identity, and this will mean that they won't necessarily have to arrest them, that they can just issue a summons or a fixed penalty notice or just record it, and it stops them having to make arrests. So this is their justification for it, that it saves money and it saves them having to haul people back to the cells. But it is a little bit more sinister than that. The problem is that you have to look at it in the light of the fact that the police have for many years operated a policy of data gathering. And that applies to political protests, but it also applies to people out on the streets. They like to know who is out, who is where, who are they talking to. And this is a perfect tool for their data gathering, because it means when not only can they now pressure someone to provide a name and address, they have the means to making sure that name and address is accurate. And they can instantly have access to all sorts of information about the person that they're talking to if they've got anything on record. So it's an extremely powerful tool in terms of policing.
Yeah, indeed. And so it sounds like it's sort of, it sounds very sort of 1984-ish or something, or more sophisticated 1984, if you know what I mean, in terms of just its ability to sort of just randomly, you get people, you say, I think you've done something, and then I want to try and find out if there's anything, any information that we have on you, that the police have on them and stuff. So it sounds quite, it sounds a bit daunting or a bit intimidating in that respect. And so how is it a tool that they're sort of arguing that can be used to sort of say, if they think you're somebody who's done something and then you're not, then they just let you go? Is that how they're arguing this?
Well, yes. The difficulty is that there is policing how it's supposed to be done. And then policing how it is done. And they're never the same.
Indeed.
You know, the current law is that if you know, you're not under arrest, you've got no, you know, in most circumstances. There are certain circumstances in which you are required to give a police officer your name and address. If you're driving a car, for instance. But on the whole, you know, if you're not suspected of committing any offence, you have, there's no legal requirement on you to provide your personal details, not your name or your address or your date of birth or anything. But the reality is very different for most people who are stopped and searched by the police, or who are caught in a kettle, or detained for other reasons. The reality is very different, is that they're frequently told that if they don't provide their name and address, they'll be arrested. Or, you know, they'll be detained for a very, very much longer period, or, you know, they're coerced, they're put under pressure. And, it's that data gathering aspect of it, which I think is most concerning. I mean, take for example, you have a group of protesters and they're kettled, and they're contained by the police to prevent a breach of the peace is a legal reason for it, but they're kettled. So no mm-hmm. one has, you know, there's no evidence that anyone's committed any criminal offence, but the police have done this. And it's quite normal in that situation for the police to say, well, you know, if you give us a name and address, then we'll let you go. And mm-hmm. an awful lot of people do. And, you know, this is, if you add mobile fingerprinting into that mix, it provides a mechanism for them to screen everyone within that kettle,
mm-hmm.
So that they have an accurate record of everyone that they contained, and they have they're able very easily to pick out anybody that they want for any particular reason, or that they have an interest in, or whatever. And it, you know, it's the use of mobile fingerprinting on its own, you know, people will say, well, you know, what of it? But you have to look at it in the light of, you know, you've got to look at it along with all the other powers that they have and how those are misused. And it seems inevitable that this power will be misused.
Yeah, and I think if you take the example of a kettle or something, as you mentioned, and you see people who maybe, you know, they don't have the right papers for, you know, for whatever reason, or they have a history or something like this, then yeah. it doesn't, then it sort of limits quite a lot of sort of any kind of freedom of movement for those people, which is kind of quite worrying, I guess. And I think as the article mentioned, the sort of like the reasonable suspicion, what's meant by that, as you sort of said, it seems to be really getting stretched, you know. It's,
well, yes, you know, I think it's very easy, I think, for this to move to the point where people don't have to, you know, it's not about the police proving anyone's guilt, it's about people proving their innocence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if fingerprinting, mobile fingerprinting is used, you know, as screening, then, you know, that's exactly what the situation would be. I mean, I've heard anecdotally that police have carried out raids into a property and to look for one individual, but then have carried out a screening of anybody else in the house.
Mm-hmm.
So people then are required to give their fingerprints to prove that they're not the person wanted, or to prove that they have the right immigration papers, or that they have, you know, they're legally in the country or whatever. And the emphasis in that situation is that they're on those people to prove that they are there lawfully. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, that's a big change. That's a massive change. And, of course, if someone in that situation says, well, no, I'm not going to give you my fingerprints, then that then becomes reason for suspicion in itself. I mean, it shouldn't mm-hmm. do. I think legally it doesn't. But I can imagine that the police will certainly use it in that way, and people will feel under pressure in that way, that if they don't provide the fingerprints, then that's how they will be seen. So it is I think it's extremely worrying. I think it's it is potentially a you know, something that will cause all people, you know, huge amounts of difficulties.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like a shift in, how do you say, the right, you know, innocent till proven guilty versus guilty till proven innocent.
Yeah.
Seems like a shift in that thinking, which goes back quite a long way. on the website, it mentioned also sort of situations. I just wanted, just for our listeners, because I thought it might be interesting for them, sort of if you could just let our listeners know, I guess, I just have a few questions. When the police can take mobile fingerprints, what situations is that allowed and not allowed? You sort of touched on it, but just clarify it.
It is, I think, really important that people know this, because this is the, you know, this is people's protection. This is the protection that you have, is that you know when these can be taken and when they can't. And, you know, the legal situation is quite clear that this is an alternative to arrest. So this can be done when someone could be placed under arrest. So there has to be suspicion that you have committed a criminal offence. And instead of being arrested, you consent to give your fingerprints mobilely on this device. You know, and if you are not suspected, you know, if there is no reasonable suspicion that you've committed an offence. If the police officer cannot say what offence it is you're supposed to have committed or why they believe you've committed it, then you shouldn't give your fingerprints. There is no legal requirement for you to do that outside those situations. And you know, if we're going to stop the misuse of this and the function creep that tends to happen with these sorts of technology, it's really important that people hold their ground on that. And if they are in that situation, it's like, no, I'm not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But that is going to be harder than it sounds.
Yes.
We see it with giving personal data, as we see it with giving name and address now, that those threats are made if people withhold their data. I can imagine exactly the same threats being made if people refuse to give mobile fingerprints. But it is important, and that is the law. If you haven't committed a criminal offence, you should not be giving your fingerprints on a mobile device.
Great, yeah. And so what happens if you're asked to give your fingerprints, mobile fingerprints, but you're suspected of antisocial behaviour? Does that sort of change the situation at all?
And the laws on for antisocial behaviour, specifically Section 50 of the Police Reform Act, is the most abused and draconian law I think that we have in this country. Is absolutely atrocious. As the law stands at the moment, if you are suspected, if a police officer reasonably believes that you have taken, you've engaged in antisocial behaviour, then they have a right to demand your name and address under threat of arrest. And if you don't give your name and address in those situations, you're committing an offence. And these powers are routinely abused. Where there is no real belief that anyone has committed antisocial behaviour, but it's just so convenient for the police to say, well, you know, Section 50, I believe you've been engaged in antisocial behaviour, give me your name and address or I'm going to arrest you. We see this again and again and again and again. Came across this a couple of months ago. A small group were doing a sit-down protest outside a shop. Along comes the police, antisocial behaviour, give me your name and address. Well, this is not antisocial behaviour.
It is not.
And they had no right to do that. But it happens on a daily basis, and it happens on the streets on a daily basis, where they stop kids and they do a stop and search and they'll say antisocial behaviour. And the difficulty with this is that if you are suspected of engaging in antisocial behaviour and you don't give your name and address, you're then committing an offence. And if you're committing an offence, they can arrest you or they can use mobile fingerprinting.
Wow.
So essentially it comes down to the same thing. Do they have a reasonable belief that you've been engaged in antisocial behaviour? Can the police officers say what it is that they've suspected you of and why they are suspecting you? And if they can't say that, then you shouldn't give your name and address and you shouldn't give your fingerprint.
I have one more question in this sort of stream of questions, and it's just to ask you, what happens if you do give your fingerprints? What happens to them then? How long do they keep them? Or what's that sort of situation like in terms of your personal data?
At the moment, they are used purely to check that you are who you say you are. So they are used alongside you giving your name and address to check that the name and address you've given is an accurate one.
Mm-hmm.
And once that check's been made, they are not kept.
Mm-hmm.
So as things stand at the moment, the fingerprints that are taken on a mobile device are not retained, and they're not entered on the system. How long that situation will last, you know, is a matter for conjecture. This is very useful information that's being collected. But the data that is retained, that is kept, is your personal data, is your name and your address and your date of birth.
Mm-hmm.
So that information does go on the system, and, you know, alongside the circumstances for it, so that the, you know, your database record will then include the fact that you've been stopped, and that you have provided your details during that stop. It's you know, it whilst your fingerprints themselves are not retained, your data is, and the record of that interaction is, and that in itself is problematic.
Indeed, yeah, it sounds like it, very problematic. And I guess just before we wrap up, is there anything else you'd like to add, or anywhere that people can find out more information about this as well?
Well, you can have a look at the NetPol website. We've got details up there. And if anyone has experience of this, you know, we would be very interested to hear from that. We are always interested to hear about people's interactions, and particularly interested in monitoring how mobile fingerprinting is used. So it would be nice if they did have any experience of this, that they get in touch and let us know. And we're also happy to provide you know, some further information if people have questions and they want to email us. We can. We would do our best to answer as well.
Oh, wonderful. Thanks a lot.